Wednesday, October 1st, 2018. So let's kind of get down to brass tacks. You know, last Thursday, I made a statement. So a quick point of clarification. Hopefully some of that made sense in the first hour. I feel like we are being pitted against one another. I've talked about this before. We're being drawn into this specious conflict against one another. As long as we can be kept fighting against one another and balkanized, then, and balkanized is the operative term because of the etymology, again, you know, bringing into view factious ideological bents like Wahhabism, a social virus is what I would call it, very effectively destroying civilization, certainly dividing them on a very dynamic sort of level. It's like, Balkanization is sort of what kinetic warfare, it's like the kinetic warfare of divide and conquer, if that makes sense. It's just a dynamic, constant dividing of people against one another along smaller and smaller lines, if that makes sense, until we're down to about a 1-to-1 ratio. And there is some predominating ideology and things like mimetic warfare come into view, people spouting rhetoric and not knowing why, but you know, it's sticky in Malcolm Gladwell's terminology. And so, you know, like roaches going into a roach motel, people take that poison back to their nest, so to speak. And, you know, that's how we're treated when you start to investigate this stuff. Anyway, moving on from all of that, point of clarification from last Thursday, when I was talking with Lark, I referred to Noam Chomsky's quote on the meaningless slogans like support the troops. And in my mind, I was also thinking of similar remarks by Howard Zinn. And so I want to give you a few of those. And folks, there are some that will cry foul, you know, and point to, you know, pieces like what James Corbett did, you know, meet Noam Chomsky, Zionist gatekeeper. And I agree, but they're, you know, if we don't play something, and I've tried to, I think I've done a pretty good job of not, we play stuff, and I refer to things from a variety of sources, and I know that I get criticism for playing anything, especially from any sort of mainstream or generally accepted from whatever corner person, but the facts are the facts. And so to understand the information, sometimes it's valuable to hear it from somebody, especially when you can take that out and show it to the rest of the world, so to speak. Like when James Perloff is talking about the fact that the put-up job about World War I and World War II in particular have been on the History Channel. This is not some sort of conspiratorial view that you can't find anywhere. Most of the facts that he talks about have been on the History Channel, which is shocking. You know, send folks to this information that's been largely compartmentalized, to say the least, and they are stunned to find that, yes, it's out in the mainstream. And so credible sources like Noam Chomsky and Howard Zinn, you know, credible to whatever extent, have said things that are valuable and worth maybe circulating. So along those lines, back to the support our troops slogan and Noam Chomsky's words. Here's the clip you can find on YouTube titled Noam Chomsky Discusses the Slogan Support Our Troops. Go ahead, please. Yeah, please. Noam Chomsky discusses the slogan, support our troops.
The point of public relations slogans like support our troops is that they don't mean anything. They mean as much as whether you support the people in Iowa. Of course, there was an issue. The issue was, do you support our policy? But you don't want people to think about the issue. That's the whole point of good propaganda. You want to create a slogan that nobody's going to be against, and I suppose everybody will be for, because nobody knows what it means, because it doesn't mean anything. But its crucial value is it diverts your attention from a question that does mean something. Do you support our policy? And that's the one you're not allowed to talk about. So you have people arguing about, do I support the troops? You know, of course I don't not support them, and so on. And then you've won. That's like Americanism and harmony. We're all together, you know, empty slogans. Let's somehow join in them. Let's make sure that we don't have these bad people around who disrupt all of our harmony with their talk about class struggle and their rights and that sort of business. Well, that's all very effective. It runs right up to today. And, of course, it is carefully thought out. You know, the people in the public relations industry aren't there for the fun of it. They're doing work. They're trying to instill the right values. In fact, they have a conception of what a democracy ought to be. It ought to be a system in which the specialized class are trained in order to do their work for the service of the masters, and the rest of the population ought to be deprived of any form of organization, because organization just causes trouble. They ought to be sitting alone in front of the television set and having drilled into their heads daily the message which says the only value in life is to have more commodities, or to live like that rich middle-class family you're watching, and to have nice values like harmony and Americanism. And that's all there is in life. You may think in your own head that there's got to be something more in life than this, but since you're watching the tube alone, you assume I must be crazy, because that's all that's going on over there. And since there is no organization permitted, that's absolutely crucial, you never have a way of finding out whether you're crazy. And you just assume it, because it's the natural thing to assume. So that's the ideal, and great efforts are made into trying to achieve that ideal, and there is a certain conception of democracy behind it. The conception of democracy is the one that I mentioned. The bewildered herd are a problem. We've got to prevent their rage and trampling. We've got to distract them. They should be watching the Super Bowl or sitcoms or, you know, violent movies or something. Every once in a while you call on them to chant meaningless slogans like support our troops, you scare, you got to keep them pretty scared, because unless they're scared properly and frightened of all kind of devils that are going to destroy them from outside, you know, or inside or somewhere, they may start to think, which is very dangerous because they're not competent to think. And therefore it's important to distract them and marginalize them. Well, that's a conception of democracy. And in fact, going back to the business community, the last legal victory for labor really was 1935, the Wagner Act. After the war came the decline of unions, and in fact of a very rich working class culture that was associated with the unions, that was destroyed. We did move to a business-run society at a remarkable level. This is the only state capitalist society, industrial society, which doesn't have even the normal social contract that you find in comparable societies. So outside of South Africa, I guess, this is the only industrial society that doesn't even have national health care, where there's no general commitment, even minimal standards of survival for the parts of the population that can't follow those rules and gain things for themselves individually. Unions are virtually non-existent. Other forms of popular structure are virtually non-existent. There's no political parties, no political organizations. It's a long way towards, not totally, but a long way towards the ideal, at least structurally. The media are a corporate monopoly, basically have the same point of view. The two parties are two factions of the business party. Most of the population doesn't even bother voting because it looks meaningless. And they're just, you know, they're marginalized and properly distracted. At least that's the goal.
So there you go. There you go. That's an excerpt, by the way, from Class War, The Attack on Working People, published back in 1998. Is it much different today? Or so maybe we should be focusing here. And that's, you know, very well articulated, I would say, the point of public relations slogans. And by the way, what is public relations, according to Edward Bernays from 1928, the book titled Propaganda? Public relations is the new name for propaganda, right? Chapter 3, that's where he defines it. The point of public relations slogans, as Noam Chomsky pointed out, like support our troops, a meaningless slogan, is to create a slogan that everyone can support and no one can challenge. And its crucial value, as he said, is it diverts your attention from the crucial question, do you support our policy? How dare you not support our troops? You know, I seem to hear John McCain's evil voice in the background. Anyway, brilliantly well said. And, you know, so the bewildered herd needs to be distracted so they don't trample each other. And, you know, this fear-based distraction is very effective and still used. Anyway, that was the excerpt that I was thinking of. And let's continue on those lines, though. Speaking of this kind of evil rhetoric, here's another one. Howard Zinn on patriotism. This is another one that was rattling around in my head when we were having that conversation. So if you're ready with that one, go ahead, please.
The idea of patriotism assumes that the government and the citizens have the same interest. So if the government tells you something, well, it's in all our interest. There's a common interest. In fact, the language in the culture suggests that, tells you that. You hear politicians say, well, we'll go to war if it's in the national interest, meaning we all have the same interest, Exxon and I, General Motors and I, the president and the kid he sends to war, all have the same interest. You know, national security. Oh, security means the same thing to all of us. National defense. They're all these phrases that tie us all up into bundles of common interest when there really is no common interest. When the government has its interest, the corporations have their interest, and the ordinary citizen has interests which become put aside and become swept up in the government's interest. The citizen begins to believe that, no, there's a common interest we all have. We're all one country. We're all Americans. And patriotism means we must all believe in the same things and do the same things and believe what the government says, because the government has our interest at heart, because the government has the same interest that we do. So it takes some work and takes some thinking and takes some studying of history to disabuse yourself of that and then to look at patriotism as something different. To realize that patriotism is not, in its best meaning, obedience to government. That patriotism in its best meaning means obedience, not obedience really, but support of the community, the people, the citizens, not the government, and support of the principles for which the government is supposed to stand, but which it really violates again and again. You know, basically the principles of the Declaration of Independence, and equality, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And patriotism should mean, in its best sense, support of those principles, which means that when the government acts against those principles, the government is being unpatriotic. And if people begin to understand patriotism in that way, they would not rush to war. As soon as some leader of government got up before a microphone and says, oh, we must go to war to fight for democracy or liberty or whatever.
Very well. Said, and getting to be sort of getting on constitutional republic, you know, and its outworking is so obvious in so many ways. You know, when a mother is called into court to prove, demonstrate. Suddenly things go awry. Is it because I said Glenn Beck? Is that what it was? Anyway, no, I agree. So when a mother has to defend herself in court that she understands and is doing what's in the best interest of the child she gave birth to, and she has to defend herself against people who have never met that child or that mother, by the way, that is to me, that's an indication that things are going sideways quickly in a society. And in the same fashion that Glenn Beck mentioned, when society's mothers start to go deeply astray, then we know we're in big trouble. And I think, you know, in both cases in America, we have evidence. Or when we see for hundreds of years that opium is used to destroy, to enslave and destroy a society, and, you know, It's introduced in a sort of clandestine fashion in our society, and that's not good enough to destroy the society. So then it's legalized or legitimized through the white coat associations, you know, the medical community and so forth. We know we're in trouble, and that's obvious. Yeah, stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
So, continuing on in this spirit, let's talk about what it means to be an American. What is Americanism? Same kind of point here, along the same lines. By the way, if you want to talk about this, phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So, what does Americanism mean? What is that? What does that mean? Well, to weigh in, here's Noam Chomsky. Go ahead if you're ready with that, please.
The idea is to present a picture of the world that looks kind of like this. There's us, you know, kind of like big happy family in the community. The honest workman going off every morning with his lunchbox, his loyal wife who's making the meals and taking care of the kids, the hardworking executive who's toiling day and night in the interests of his workers in the community, the friendly banker who's running around looking for people to lend money to, and so on and so forth. That's us, you know, and we're all in harmony. Harmony was a big word. We're in harmony. We're all together. It's Americanism. You might take a look at that word Americanism. It's an unusual term. It's the kind of term that you only find in totalitarian societies, as far as I know. So like in the Soviet Union, anti-Sovietism was considered the gravest of all crimes, you know. And the Brazilian generals had some concept like that, anti-Brazilian. But try, say, publishing a book on anti-Italianism and see what happens in the streets of Rome or Milan. I mean, people won't even bother laughing. It's a ludicrous idea. The idea of Italianism or, you know, Norwayism or something like that, or these would just be objects of ridicule in societies that have some kind of residue of a democratic culture inside people's heads. I don't mean in the formal systems. But in totalitarian societies, it is used, and as far as I know, the United States is the only free society that has such a concept. Maybe there's another one. You might try it in places, you know. But anyhow, Americanism is an anti-Americanism and un-Americanism and so on. These are concepts which go along with harmony and getting rid of those outsiders and all that kind of stuff. Another part is simply to induce hatred and fear among people. So it's a diverse society. You know, you go to Europe, most places are pretty uniform. This is a very diverse society. So it's easy for propagandists. It's pretty easy to get people to, you know, hate the guy next door because looks a little different or one thing or another. And huge campaigns go on to instigate divisions among people. I don't have to tell you about this. It's all so familiar. You go on. But these are very natural techniques of social control. Now, if you can't control people by force, you have to control their minds, you have to control their attitudes.
So there you go. And doesn't that sound very similar to the subject matter we talked about last week? It's control, it's balkanization. You know, speaking of all this stuff in the way that government should work versus the way it does work, currently so-called government anyway, I think it's bizarre seeing Donald Trump. Remember when the president – you didn't hear from the president for, you know, 12 months or something? You go back in history, it was pretty quiet. Now Donald Trump is speaking – you know, I love Mexico. I love Mexicans. And, you know, don't have to remind folks of the sort of embarrassing statements that have been made by him, particularly on the campaign trail. But it's weird seeing Steve Mnuchin and Jared Kushner over his shoulder, I think. Reminds me of Edward Mandel House and Philip Drew Administrator. Not that they're either one of them are combined. They are an Edward Mandel House, quite nearly as well connected from behind the throne of power as House was, a generational old school bad guy. But, you know, cut from the same cloth. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, Jared Kushner is the son of a white collar felon who spent time in prison for campaign finance fraud and trying to bribe his family member or blackmail his family member into supporting an illegal enterprise, trying to shuttle funds to different candidates' campaigns so that basically he could buy them off. And he also, I mean, it's a pretty, I think, it's pretty easy to see that he bought son Jared's way through, or at least into Ivy League schools. So, and Steve Mnuchin, I mean, where do I begin? You know, so for those who would say, you know, Donald Trump, hey, great guy. I don't know. Look over his left shoulder there and who's behind him? Stick around, I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol, I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Another video, America is Not a Democracy, a little clip by Noam Chomsky. There's no time for that, so we won't do that. But have you seen, remember the documentary, 1992 documentary, Manufacturing Consent, Noam Chomsky and the Media? That's an interesting one, directed by Mark Akbar. And you might say a follow-up that Mark Akbar directed was The Corporation back in 2003. That was an interesting one, too. Those are some, you know. So The Corporation, you know, the market state or the market security state, basically. Anyway, more on that maybe later. But this is the horrifying reality we find ourselves in, if you want to call it that. To the phones we go. Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Last week, you
were talking about the grizzly bears. We have, you know, cougar maulings going on here. You and I would say, well, this is going to be really helpful towards implementing the Agenda 21. and everybody moves into smart cities. But I had kind of an interesting weekend. There's a large timber holder, remain nameless family, and this guy is responsible for the future of these timber holdings. And I chat with him on occasion when he comes out for a little social event, and he brings up a Washington State Initiative 1631 involving not a carbon tax, they're calling it a carbon fee, but Washington will be the first state in the nation to get involved in this CO2 nonsense. And the guy says, well, I don't think CO2 has jack to do with climate change, but you got to remember, we are going to be reaping all of this money, and the stipulation in this initiative is that that money needs to go towards something that creates some mitigation on CO2. So if we don't get involved in this, Brian, we have got a couple screws loose. So there is relocation money. You've heard of disaster preparedness and the wildfires, and Deborah Tavares talking about this. It's going to be a push for what to do with all these people that are in transition. And here's kind of my thinking, is that if we use this initiative that will likely pass, because they tried it 3 years ago, they made some mistakes in pushing it, but they got it dialed in this year. You'll be interested, and Mer Bailey will be interested. They said, well, white people are involved in this, and it's clear that white people have done nothing but terrible things on the planet forever. So we'll have a coalition of blacks, a coalition of Hispanic farm workers, and the Nates, and we will hold the banner in this parade. And I think that's a nice manipulative technique towards making this pass. What I'm saying is, what if there was some sort of thing that didn't have the bird Israeli tech involvement, and the solution to what I see coming is, what if rural people could, without entanglements of utilities and the 5G nightmare, create a way to do one thing, but you accomplish 10. In the Pacific Northwest, you know, we have a huge variety of options. Do you want to go to the ocean or the mountains or the desert? You can do anything you want here. People are used to, oh, I don't see an obstacle. The world's my oyster. What if you could use wood heat and reduce fire load? This is a huge problem with the fire department, but it's superseded by the air pollution control. What if you used wood heat? You had a bathhouse. You're heating a hot tub. You're heating a sauna. You're keeping your worm bin warm with that water on the cold nights in the winter. You're heating a additional greenhouse with this heat that you have produced, and you're making charcoal. And, you know, the list just goes on. I know a buddy of mine, he's got an ancient little boathouse on the saltwater. Well, he wants to turn it into a little overnight crash pad for his kids. So he wants to get a facilities in there. He has a propane-burning human sanitation solution. It's, you know, boats use them. I don't know. They're quite common. So here we are. We're using heat to get rid of human waste, which, you know, for time immemorial, they've been dumping it in the salt water and wondering why there's red tides. Why is the salmon in jeopardy, the orca whales? Well, I see this as an opportunity. And you, Chris, with your audience and your amazing ability to take in information and not turn into some nutcase, you know, Glenn Beck, blah, blah, you can interview people and you keep an open mind. Well, my buddy Brendan O'Connell just put out his documentary. He has some free time and, you know, he wants to get into permaculture. Well, if we could implement some sort of immigration push and get his ass over here, I could use somebody that understands politics for a change. The before mentioned timber holding guy, you know, he looks at Brendan's overview of the political goings on, the Belt and Road, the all of this explanation, and with an open mind, he says, boy, that actually makes a lot more sense than this dog and pony show charade theatrical thing that we're being told is what is going on. So I'm just in a really key, integral opportunity situation, and what it comes down to is Larkin, Texas's 9 words. If you sat a teenager down and say, what do you want in this world? And they say, well, I'd like to have a warm place and out of the rain and maybe, you know, go out and do something every day instead of sit on the couch or sit in a smart city. If we could use this Governor Inslee heading for a presidential run, he's using this initiative to say, I know how to make things happen. It's similar to what happened in Seattle with Nikki Rapana and the pilot program for communitarianism. I think this needs some exposure, and I want a way to use this nightmare to work towards, well, actually, by example, you can change people's minds. What if you do have food growing in a greenhouse next to a bathhouse that you're providing this heat? You do have it all dialed in, and you're solving a septic tank problem, which is a huge issue. Towards, you want to try and build a house, you better have out here, you better have all the rainwater dealt with. It's horrendously expensive to lay some concrete and say, I'm building me a place, I got me a piece of ground. Well, you better get used to bending over to pay for all kinds of stuff. But this solves so much, including, you know, rainwater retention. Well, you're going to hold this water and you're going to utilize it in this process that when somebody looks at it, boy, how cool is that? What more could a guy want? And I'm doing it with technology from the 1500s in the Amazon River, the, you know, Terra Preta story. I'm just really, you know, you were saying that Brendan was an option and Lark, and I really see we got 30 days to find, get some awareness on this initiative. So that's my spiel, Chris, and thank you for putting me on.
You bet, Brian. 30 days, as in to election day, 30 days and change. Good point. And, you know, there's a lot of other great technology too that has historically been occluded again. And, you know, when you're saying what you're saying, you know, like when you said, what if you could use heat, wood heat, and reduce fire load, and you're making charcoal, and you know, you've mentioned biochar several times on this broadcast in particular. And you know, my thought is, yeah, but you can't control people then, and that's been the central issue, obviously, in the last 100+ years. And you know, it's really interesting in the information age, if data is the new oil, why are we not able to pass information along, try certain things? I mean, I've seen it for years. Bill in Idaho, for example, used to be a very loud and outspoken proponent of trying certain experimental technology that we could all use sort of around the house type stuff to create free sources of energy and things. And, you know, that doesn't seem to happen enough, which is interesting. It's, you know, it gets back to the point I like to make that, you know, a lot of us talk a lot, but really maybe are kind of comfortable where we're at versus the guys who at one point pledged their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor to make something happen. So I appreciate your point, and I'll definitely put that on the radar. And you know, it is that season. It's midterm season anyway, and so I-1631 is definitely something that I think should be discussed. Carbon fee that's interesting. Anyway, yeah, we'll circle back around and we'll talk about that for sure.
Yeah, I know that this
so,
documentary
thanks, Brian.
On. Okay, bye now.
In the interest of time, let's just get back to the phones and grab Lloyd in Arizona. Is it Lloyd? Thanks for calling.
Sir.
Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Yeah, you were talking. We were talking
Hello.
About. Hi, how are you? How are you? Can you hear me all right?
Good.
Hello. Can you hear me, Chris?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Talking about manufacturing.
Yeah, I think we have a little bit of a delay, so sorry about that. But yeah, I hear you.
No problem. Well, yeah, I just wanted to discuss Trump, especially. You know, I've got family members that I got them turned on to Ron Paul, and you know, thinking about the Federal Reserve and the problems that arise from the inflation of the money or the printing of the money. And then they'll go around and support Donald Trump. And, you know, it's all based upon an assumption that he's, you know, somehow going to get it later on. He's going to understand liberty later on. You know what I mean? Because nothing that he's ever said has led me to believe that he understands the principles of liberty just in its very raw sense. You know, he's a Keynesian warmonger. He is identical to Obama and Bush and all of them, right? Because of the, you know, the folks that control him, obviously. But the problem that we have is people that I can get them to wake up to the Federal Reserve. I'm talking about family members, and I'm not lumping everybody into this, but. And then, you know, the next 4 years, whatever, go, what else do we have? You know, they give them such horrible options. That, you know, they present us with these awful choices that, you know, the Donald Trump seems sane to them when I don't remember him mentioning, you know, changing the monetary system in this country or going against the real powers that are there. The main problem that we have, we can fix all the problems that we have, but if we still have this horrible money system, then all of these problems don't matter because none of it's sustainable for the long term for our children. And so, you know, that whole issue there is a main problem, and it goes on at the local level, I believe. The same problem, where the local politicians believe that, we're just taking, 6.5%? You know, it's not a big deal, just, you know, we're going to lay low and, you know, squander toward other people's treasure, behind the scenes, while, just worry about the national politics. And so, you know, the whole issue of the principles that we believe that liberty can stand on, and that's a sound money system. And if we can't solve that, in my opinion, it seems like, they're going to keep rolling out Donald Trump's that will completely deceive people who are, you know, supposedly aware of this main problem of the inflation or the printing of money. What do you think?
Well said. I couldn't agree more. And I try to circle back around to that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, if you can print as much as you want, whenever you want, to pay whomever you want, as much as you want, to do whatever you want, then you pretty much have a monopoly on just about anything. And I agree with your point that if we still have this horrible money system, then we still have the same giant glaring problem that really is the source of all other problems. And I couldn't agree more. You know, for a guy that allegedly knows better, not to be concerned with that issue, I think says a lot.
Yeah, it's like we have to look at his rhetoric, and it's a very, you know, the fact that the position of the president is so powerful is terrifying in itself, but we have to look at his rhetoric, and we can't go on his actions necessarily. And so his rhetoric is nowhere near anything that I have found to be the principles of liberty that were based upon the Bill of Rights. And so how can people out there who are supposedly awake even remotely support this man, and those who are in power behind him, those who he is terrified of, he's either terrified of them, or he likes it. He enjoys totalitarianism, or he's just a useful idiot. Who cares? Who cares what it is?
Sadly, I suspect. Yeah, exactly. I suspect the latter, both, I would say he is, I think, a useful idiot, but also that, you know, we've seen what I would call a rise of the cult of personality. You know, we should maybe play that song. But, you know, he's just another figure cut from the cloth of cult of personality, like Barack Obama, like George W. Bush, like Bill Clinton. Seems like that is sort of the antithesis of when you go back to, I don't know, guys like Thomas Jefferson or John Adams. Or what Thomas Jefferson said specifically about the time he spent in the White House and the way that it was, just a good way to sort of turn the general public against you, because you really can't do anything that, I don't know, in the words of Lincoln, you can please some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time. You can't please all the people all the time.
Right.
Along those lines. But these figureheads that seem to enjoy the cult of personality, the narcissistic psychopath, really, or Alan Watt calls them, the hysterical attention-seeking psychopath, which really reminds me of Donald Trump. It's, again, very... It's terrifying to me.
It is, and this is, we're right in the middle of that. We're right in the middle of it among people who I consider to be, somewhat awake in my standards, and they're, and it's like, wow, how could people really are And that's funny. I guess people were saying, hey, what else we got? What else do we got? Well, you know, we have to stand on the principles, and and we're in big, big, big trouble. We're just in big trouble when you can have people who can awaken to these things and then support a person or policies, you know, like Donald Trump, and think that somehow is better than Clinton. No, it's the same. It's exactly the same. It's the same. So it is just,
right.
Wow, holy cow. So I really support you in what you're doing, and I think it's entirely important in what you do, because until we get over that hump, and that, you know, it's none of these projects are going to matter, sadly. So,
yeah,
keep going, man.
I appreciate your point. Thanks, Lloyd. What you're, you know, the sentiments you're expressing are exactly why we played those clips. I had a conversation yesterday, and I've had several of these, maybe others have as well, where you try to encourage people to look a little deeper and see the ways that people are controlled in subtle, almost seemingly imperceptible ways. And that's why we play the clips like Noam Chomsky talking about this meaningless slogans like support our troops, and how these slogans mean nothing. And the crucial value, as he said, is to divert people's attention away from the critical question, do you support our policy? Of course, we all support the troops, but do we support the policy of, you know, endless wars of aggression and hostility against people we've never even met? For what purpose? For what reason? And who are we supporting when we do that? Which is, you know, dovetails with Howard Zinn on patriotism, that clip we played. And now hopefully folks can see why I always say, first, let's define terms. Because as he points out, these terms are used in a very misleading sort of way. It's sophistry. You know what the public relations people mean, in one sense, they use duplicity, and cognitive bias kicks in, and suspension of disbelief, in a sense. And people don't ask the question that Howard Zinn is pointing out. Does this mean what I think it's supposed to mean for me, or is there something else that's implied here? And it's almost a, you know, watch their feet, not their lips kind of situation to see where this term leads. And, you know, so I agree. We played the clip Noam Chomsky on Americanism. What is it? You know, I would say, i.e. American exceptionalism, which again is, you know, authoritarian, tyrannical, it's imperialist. And is this really what we're all about? Hopefully not. Anyway, I think your points are well-founded, Lloyd. And if we have the same money system and we still have the same glaring problem, and you know, people need to look deeper and see who is they're controlled. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy Cleaner is $285, shipping included, to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the Energy Cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the Energy Cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Broadcasting from the Co-Certified Studios in beautiful downtown Berkeley.